3 years and holding there. And it's almost an annual event where I have Barry Rivers come on in and go over the films for the Maui Film Festival. I'm going to go Facebook Live for this one, and we're going to go down the list of films for the Maui Film Festival coming on July 6th. That's just a couple of weeks away.
Right around the corner.
6th through the 10th at the beautiful Maui Arts and Cultural Center Amphitheater, outdoor, under the sun, the sky, the stars.
The sun, moon, and stars.
Sun, moon, and stars.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. And it's going to be beautiful. You've got a huge, gorgeous screen, don't you?
Yeah, it's basically a mini version of what a Jumbotron screen would be at a baseball stadium. So yeah. It's super bright.
I like it.
In the brightest light, you're still seeing a really sharp image. Am I going to look at this thing now?
No, you're going to look at me, and I'll just pretend you know. It's just like you do when you have a TV camera.
I hate this thing.
You know
okay.
how the TV cameras work?
Yeah, that's why I don't do it
like
anymore.
But you're not in your pajamas.
I am.
Oh, you are in your pajamas.
I just can't see it.
Okay.
That's for me to know and then to find out about.
Go fast.
Just
no,
that
you can
the
go
venue.
Slow.
You didn't mention the venue name, which I think we're
I did.
Trying
I said the Maui Arts and Cultural Center Amphitheater.
Yeah, but the venue that is our new field of dreams is the Stardust Cinema.
Oh.
It sort of was a Honey, I Shrunk the Celestial Cinema situation because we couldn't do it over there anymore in Wailea. You know, we wanted to just have people have a...
We'll send that out to Stella.
How much time do you need to laugh?
We'll send that out to Stella. Honey, I Shrunk the Celestial Cinema.
So we did, funny. Actually. Uh-huh. But it's still magnificent.
Can I say I like it better this way?
Which way?
Without having to go outside in the grass. I like it kind of close by home and in a nice field of dreams there at the Mac because it's centrally located and I don't have to. Can I say that? Am I allowed to just
you
give my
say
opinion
whatever
that
you
way?
Want. It's your
I
show.
Like it that way.
Yeah, we're going to have the option to low back beach chairs and blankets. That'll be the first tier seating from the screen going back towards the back of the venue. Huh. And then there'll be a bunch of rows of chairs set up. There's nice, kind of comfortable white chairs.
Real chairs.
And then beyond that, there'll be bleachers. So it's like, what's your Okoli like, bro? Oh, you're in that kind of state over there.
So I didn't realize that. So you can sit in the front on the grass with a low back chair.
Uh-huh.
Because people are kind of used to that.
Yeah.
And the blanket,
you can have your blanket.
Okay.
But if you're a little older and they like their little cozy spot in a chair.
I like the ground, and I'm older, and I like the ground still.
And then there's also, like I said, bleachers. So there's lots of ways to enjoy the festival.
Yeah, and it's very, very cool because the films you have, and I've been following your film festival for every single year you've done it, Barry. The films you have
don't remind me.
You know what? I mean, you've persevered. There's been times, oh my gosh, can Barry swear? Folks, you don't know how Barry can swear.
It's my native language.
It's not until you get him in the studio trying to cut a commercial that you realize. And by the way,
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
It's Gary's birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gary. Did they finally give you a day off? Happy birthday to you.
No, we didn't.
He's the hardest working guy in show business, man.
And you know what? I forgot it was his birthday today.
Oh, nice.
I didn't even get him a card. I'm so bad. We're going to celebrate tomorrow. And Gary's so nice, he doesn't even mind. Or maybe he does. He's not going to tell me. But anyway, the thing is when he comes in and you do the commercials, you have to put up with your barrage. I guess that's a nice way to say you're at your barrage.
It's a very big squirt gun.
So swear words. But the thing is that you, at this point, have worked for about 8 months, 7 months on getting the films together, right?
No break between the one that we finished in November and this thing that's happening in a week and a half or so.
6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
And it's always an interesting adventure because, of course, it wasn't until about 3 months ago you were sure you even could do it with the COVID and the outdoors. And you even were worried a little bit a couple of months ago.
Yeah,
right?
I've had enough of COVID to last me a lifetime.
I think we all have had enough of COVID to last us a lifetime. That's why we're pretending it doesn't exist anymore. So, but the thing is, outdoors, no problem. It's going to be beautiful.
Right.
And you have a
no restrictions. I should just be clear. Like,
no
it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated, not vaccinated.
Doesn't
I mean,
matter.
It's, The whole thing's been so crazy. I mean, you get the shots, you get the virus. Don't get the shots, you get the virus.
Yep.
It's just crazy. So we're all just starting to live our lives, and, you know, we're thankful for that. Like, last year we weren't able to do certain things that this year we can. Like, you know, there are food trucks. There are all the stuff, what am I trying to say? Everything we didn't have last year, we have this year.
So including the courtyard.
Yeah, we're doing actually a first time Q&A. The name of the venue, when I sort of create it to be this question and answer location after people watch the films, because we have filmmakers here that, you know, the thing that I've always missed in this film festival is having Q&As after films. It's some festivals have an easier way of doing it because they might have a 1,000-person venue. Or they have a 1,200-seat venue. Mm. But, you know, we have like these 3,000-seat venues. It's sort of untenable to try and do a Q&A in that size event. You know, we've done them at the hotel over there at the Grand Royal.
And that one's Mallory about Resort. 30 or 40 people.
Yeah, they're generally small and intimate, and people love them. But
you're getting
some
likes on this idea.
I'm getting what?
Likes.
I'm saying right now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I am like Mr. Anti-Social with this crap.
Stop it.
But anyway, I'm glad you're enjoying it out there in TV land. But what I was going to tell you, I've forgotten. So what was the
next question?
You
were going to talk about the fact that it's going to be inside in the, even though your Mac experience is a large experience with the Q&A after the film.
So just if any of you have ever been to the Candlelight Cafe and Cinema, which was the once-a-week venue we did at the Castle Theater for like 18 years or something like that before we switched over and started this outdoor film festival. So we're taking the courtyard that is outside of that theater, and we've turned it into what I'm calling the, see if I get this right, the Maui Film Festival Candlelight Cafe and Cinema post-premiere Q&A.
I think you better go with initials on that.
We're just going to go with the Q&A. It's a Q&A parte. I don't know. So basically, people are going to be there, and they'll, like Jerry Lopez is doing a Q&A following his screening on Monday night. But a lot of people want to do it.
No, his screening's on Wednesday night.
What did I say?
Well, you said Monday.
Oh. Feels like a Monday to me.
But it's going to be the opening night.
Yeah, right.
On July 6th.
Yep.
And we'll, this is a good intro to that, because Jerry Lopez, I'd heard his name. But it wasn't until I looked at the trailer, and I have to say, Barry, this is the first time I looked at every single trailer before you came in.
Thank you.
It put me in an altered state of consciousness.
That was the whole idea.
It was very interesting watching every trailer back to back without stop. And I really came away with a lot of introspection and respect for what's being put out there.
Thank you.
From these filmmakers, and the fact that this is where you get to say the basis of what you decide to choose to show at the film festival. What's your basic underlying principles?
For me?
Yes.
Compassionate vision, life-affirming storytelling. That's what it's always been.
Yeah.
You know, and on occasion we'll show things that sort of, you know, ruffle people up a little bit. But as an example, a film that's called, oh my God, I'm going to have to look at these. I have too many names in my head. Jesus. I'm trying to blank on the name
but
of the film.
But it's on the computer. It's on the computer.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, I can't.
But the films are all there, except the only one that you don't have is the opening special screening Secrets.
We're not going to tell anyone what that is. I'm just so sick of everyone I know, myself included, knowing exactly where they're going when they're going on a vacation. They know exactly what the beach looks like, exactly what the best restaurants look like, exactly what the whole damn thing looks like. And there's just no magic in that. You know, so this is a very conscious intention to have people experience something that they don't know anything about, that they're not going to know anything about. I'm blocking out the names of the people that are involved in this film, but I will guarantee you that it is one of...
You got a thumbs up on that.
I guarantee you that it is one of the most amazing films you will ever see, and for me, the most important film of the festival.
But you didn't tell us what it is.
That's right.
So this is the whole idea. This film is called Trust Me. Barry Rivers, Trust Me film.
You won't regret it. This is a magnificent film. And I tell you what, you may not yet realize it, but we're giving an award to Jerry Lopez, as we are to Stacey Peralta, right?
Wait a second. We got to go back to Jerry Lopez and Stacey.
You want to do this chronologically?
Because I should have known about Stacey, and I didn't. I have to admit, I mean, I heard the name Dogtown before. In fact, I know Scott Johnson, who's called his business name Dogtown after that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But and then I didn't know that. I was a whole learning experience finding out really how I adored Jerry Lopez and Stacey Peralta, who made this movie, the first movie we can mention. On Wednesday night. It's called The Yin and Yang of Jerry Lopez. Explain about this one and a little bit about Jerry and Stacy and how you got this all together for the opening night.
Well, I've known them both for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been following that film for years now. I'd call them every 6 months and say, you know, where are we at? Where are we at? Where are
oh,
we
really?
At? Yeah. And when the time rolled around, it was ready to go. They were just more than terrific to step up and say, yeah, we'd love to show it with you. And at that point, I decided to offer each of them an award. Not really a secret. We have five honorees this year that we just now wrapped up. So we're not going to say anything about it because it needs to really come from Variety, which is where it's going to get first released so that people will pick it up in the different services.
Oh, so you haven't mentioned all the honorees on the website yet?
No, not yet. Okay. Early next week, I think. Maybe late this week. We'll see. But in any event, the film is... it's a wonderful film about a very interesting guy. We're giving him the Visionary Award. And the only other person to have gotten it previously was the Dalai Lama.
Right.
Because you saw the trailer. That's enough to give you a sense of just how deeply spiritual this guy is. He's the real deal, Jerry Lopez, with his connection to yoga and being in the world in a certain way. So we just thought, you know, they're the same guys. they're the same people. It just blew me in my mind when I realized that. So in any event, that's what we're doing with Jerry Lopez for the first and then Stacy. That's good. They're going to do they're going to get their awards before the film screens, and then there'll be a Q&A afterwards.
Well, this is going to be an interesting Q&A too with them, right? I mean, that would be a very interesting Q&A.
I'll give you a hint. If you go to the website and you look at the film that is there for the first film the festival, tell me what it is. Do you know what it is?
It's the Jerry Lopez one.
No.
The Yin and Yang of
but what's the film that we're not talking about? The surprise film.
I thought it was maybe another Jerry Stacy. I thought it was Stacy Peralta.
No, back it up a little bit.
Well, I mean, it's going. A dolphin.
There
it's,
you go. That's the hint.
You have a talking dolphin. You're going to give him
no,
a
no, but somebody might.
Somebody might have a talking dolphin.
Just trust me.
See, I told you. So trust me. I told you that's. We're going back to the name I gave it. It's the Trust Me film. I won't tell you the joke because growing up in Beverly Hills, you know what the translation of Trust Me is in Beverly Hills.
I'm screwing you right now.
Kind of like that. Yeah. That's the way you can say it. Yes, yeah. it comes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, that's a Trust Me.
So that's the 8 o'clock film.
Yes.
On Monday night.
Awesome.
Wednesday night, geez.
Wednesday night's going to be quite a night. And I have to say, having watched, and I recommend everyone to go to the Maui Film Festival site, mauifilmfestival.com. It doesn't take, I did all these trailers in less than an hour. And it was a great experience. It really was
interesting. I'm glad you liked it so much. Well, we worked super hard to find them.
Well, you know, the thing is, you don't know these films until you look at the trailers. And the trailers, of course, everybody knows how important trailers are.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a lot of their heart and soul, and there's some great clips. And you do get a feeling of what the film's about by the trailers. Thank you.
I feel like I'm having an eye exam here right now. What are you doing? What
well,
are
no,
you looking at?
I was just
at?
Looking
yourself?
At some of the people. No, that there's some there's some people joining that.
Oh, okay.
But that's a wonderful opening night. And the second night's interesting as well. Thursday, everyone knows the picture that this guy McCurry took, but they don't know the backstory. And I found it fascinating.
Super interesting film.
Very interesting
film.
Yeah,
really well done. So he's the guy, the thing most people know him for is the photo that he took of the girl who was a refugee in Afghanistan during the Afghan War, and it made the cover of National Geographic magazine. That's the thing that really sort of put him on the map.
And the thing that stood out, you might remember, was the super blue eyes on this lady that had she had a shawl over her head. And I mean, but his story's amazing.
Yeah. He's a deep dude. This is the deepest festival we've ever done.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you would know. I mean, you really have seen all the stuff.
I did look at all the films, yeah.
Yeah, we're not fluffing around here. I mean, there's some fun stuff for sure.
We're not fluffing around. That's usable on the radio.
Growing up, and you're
fluffing around is... I may use that term. That's brilliant.
Feel free. There's another one I can give you can use also.
Fluffing around.
Sounds like technology, but it starts with an F, but go on.
Don't.
I'll stop right there. I'm being good.
So McCurry, you know, when you look at his things, now what's interesting is the subtitle. It's talking about his love of color. And there's this whole thing in photography between what's black and white, you know, and what's real journalism? And he makes a point in this trailer saying it's not really about journalism with him, that he's on a different vision and quest, and yet he's gone to some of the most horrific sights and things in the world, as a journalistic photographer would, right? Mm-hmm. But he loves color. Interesting. I found that fascinating.
And you can kind of find color in the darkness that surrounds you, and yes, you get a great photograph of it.
That's
guess
true.
What? You're one hell of a photographer, and that's what this guy is.
Yeah, absolutely. I had not heard about this one.
Hmm.
Was it hard to find?
You know, that's the thing. I just to sort of jump in quickly. That's the thing people don't realize, that this realize about the festival and what we are. We're not Netflix. You know, we don't want to be Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
They show a lot of crap, frankly. They show some good stuff for sure. A lot of that stuff is fun, and the comedies are sort of, you know, enjoyable for a bit. And there's a lot of wonderful people working on those films. However, they just tend to not go as deep as we do with the stuff that we bring. I mean, I'm a coal miner at the end of the day. That's my job. You know, I put that hat on, I go down to the coma, and I try to find something worth looking at. And it is not easy. I screen all the films that are in the festival to see if they're getting in or not.
So how do you wash those clothes after you've done that deep dive in the coal mine?
The ocean.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ocean in this film.
But there's just a lot. The point I'm really trying to make is that you're not seeing many of the better films made in the world if you don't go to some film festival or two or three, you know, every year and just see what's going on, because that's where the cutting edge stuff happens, and that's where people are discovered, and that's where they have their mandate is to kind of stretch the canvas and find more interesting stuff than might be just some pop star that they're following for, you know, for an hour and a half long documentary or something like that. So we got the goods. That's what's going on.
Well, you know, it's, again, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Barry Rivers, the founder, the man that has been keeping the dream alive for how many years with the film festival?
Well, you could ask Stella, she'd say too many. I wouldn't necessarily agree on some days, but yeah, this is the 22nd year of the Maui Film Festival and its incarnation as a film festival. You know, once a year film festival.
We're going down the whole list, which you can follow along if you want to go to MauiFilmFestival.com. We're going down the list of movies going from July 6th to the 10th. But there is going to be the streaming that is going to continue if you want to stream. That will be going on longer. It's kind of become the way you do film festivals, that you can continue
streaming.
Well,
most of them, that was all people could do, whether it was Sundance or Tribeca, you know, all you could really do for a year or two was to show stuff in a virtual cinema.
Yeah.
So we did that as well. And it's been interesting. It's been a lot of work, because most people really do like to have the communal experience, you know, of just being with other people and being able to just laugh and whatever. So that's been hard for me. I don't love that part of it, but we've done a pretty damn good job finding some wonderful films, I'll say that.
With your staff and with Stella and people. I'm going to end the Facebook portion, but I'm on the air. You can stream on KEOI1110.com or listen in here, of course, on the radio live, 1110 and 98.7 and all the other places. But it gets tiring to hold that up there. So let's go into the next film on Thursday, July 7th. And again, a very important subject by a man, actually, I've had a chance to meet for a couple of times. Michael Beckwith is on this.
He's one of the people being interviewed.
Yeah, I saw on the film clip on the trailer, he's there.
Yeah. The film, however, was done by Louis Schwartzberg, who people know, especially people on Maui know, for his film Fantastic Fungi.
Oh, he's the one that, okay, and he brought up, you know, of course, spiritual things. I've done many talks on gratitude, but Gratitude Revealed's a fascinating film, and it's so powerful, and again, bringing up some really, really important points. I think gratitude is one of the few things that can really overcome depression, you know, and when you're ever overwhelmed, I mean, gratitude is amazing. So I was so happy to see this film. This is a very important film.
Well, he's just so you know, he's been a time-lapse photographer, mostly of natural beauty, for 40-plus years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So all the film that you saw in the trailer,
uh-huh,
and the 98 minutes more of it or whatever that are in the film, those are all films things that he shot himself and that he's now using to sort of open people up to understand just the beauty that surrounds them and how to not take it lightly or ignore it or not show it the proper respect, you know. So because there's two windows in the world right now. It's been this way for a long time. There's the crap window, the CNN window, all the garbage, all that stuff. And then there's like the clean, clear window that has the magic. So that's his whole thing, is bringing the magic. Louis.
Well,
is.
I mean, there's that beautiful image that he has of a dewdrop, of course, and lovely, lovely shot. And if it's like that, I mean, it's going to be quite an enlightening journey between seeing on Thursday night McCurry and Gratitude Revealed. Two very inspiring films.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very inspiring.
Yeah. He's a special character, this guy.
You know him? Have you ever?
Yeah,
met?
I've known him for like 30 years.
Oh, really?
30 years, yeah.
Wonderful. So is he going to be here?
Yeah, he's going to be here.
Oh, wonderful.
He'll be doing a Q&A as well.
Oh, that's fabulous. He,
this is the first, we're the first place that's showing the film. We have the world premiere of the film.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. I mean, for these people, you know filmmakers, I know filmmakers. There's so much work that goes into making these films. And you have a lot of interesting premieres that are going to be happening, including we're going to go to Friday night, an amazing film.
I want to say just one quick thing about Louis Schwarzberg.
Yeah.
So Louis' parents were in Germany in Hitler's Auschwitz camp.
Wow.
They eventually managed to get out of there, come to America, and his dad was the guy who really sort of drilled into him just how lucky he was to be able to wake up every day and have the experiences he was having and not to take anything for granted. So he really went into the world himself with that little buzz bopping around in his head every day. And he's made this remarkable movie. And for people that are just feeling sort of down and out or just beat up by the shitstorm that's been going on around us.
I can't say that, but that's
well,
what, yes.
Well, so be it. You know, I mean, this is really a film that can open you up and lift you up. It's really an important. If you're having like a little bit of a rough ride,
yeah.
This film can really help straighten you out. And levitate you a bit as well.
What a wonderful gift. I mean, that's a lovely gift to give from someone who came from that kind of background to be able to turn around and just to say thank you, right?
Yep.
I mean, what was that also, A Beautiful World? Or what was that film that won the Academy Award on that? I think it was called
Life is Beautiful.
Life is
that
Beautiful.
One?
Yeah.
One of the best Academy, best picture.
Yeah, from someone who was actually from that background, yeah. So to be able to see that from that is a beautiful seed that sprouted, I think. And nice that he can be here to see it, too, in that lovely venue outdoors and then do a Q&A as well afterwards. Yeah. Lots of good reasons to stay for the Q&A.
Yeah, we're hoping people will really take advantage of it. You know, we can't, you know, the Mac has set the stage for a 2,900-seat venue. So who knows how many will be there on any given night. You know, we should be so lucky as to have a couple of nights that are even, whatever, two-thirds of that. But so if you really want to do the Q&A thing, just be prepared to spend another hour. We've been given 1 hour beyond 10 o'clock at night, which is the noise abatement rule, and we have to keep the sound down a bit so it's not a rock concert kind of a thing.
Right.
But we have an hour that we can play with to just have filmmakers. If we have filmmakers from both films on that particular night, then they'll both get a slice of time to answer questions and whatnot. But it's really interesting to hear some of these people talk about their work and what it took to get it done.
Yeah. So then that would mean it'd be over by 10 o'clock?
Movie's going to end every night by 10 o'clock. The second film will end every night by 10 o'clock. I just found, we have some really good music actually on opening night we didn't talk about.
Oh, well, you didn't. Okay, tell me about
it. It's African music, and it's wonderful, and I'm not going to tell you a whole lot more about that than that. It's like a six-person band. They're incredible.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the film that shows when people are coming into the theater.
Okay.
By the way, the gates open at 5, and the first film hits the screen at 6. And there's five 10 minutes between then where we thank our sponsors and we have this thing we call the logo parade so everyone can see exactly who's there and who's made it possible for you to be sitting in the grass that night or sitting wherever you're sitting, you know. But we have some shorts as well most nights, a couple of fantastic shorts, actually.
Those aren't all listed on the site.
They're not. If they're outside, they generally are not listed inside of the virtual cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it's a full night.
It's a full night, baby.
It's a full
You're
night.
Going to get your money's worth.
And tickets, we should mention, are at the box office.
At the Mac.
At the Mac.
Yep.
And can you do it online?
You can do it online. Right now, you can do it online only if you're buying a single ticket. or multiple tickets, but, you know, buying single tickets, X number of them, whatever number that might be. So that's right now. And then if you want to buy passes, we've come up with a pass that knocks about 20% off of the cost of a five-click pass. So if you want to see every film in the festival, you know, you can have that chance and save, I think it's 20% less. And that you can call the Mac box office. And the ad I did for you the other day has the number on it. Is it, I think it's 808-242, no, I can't remember it off the top
of my head. Well, it used to be 242-SHOW.
Show, yeah, I think that's still it, 242-SHOW. Yeah, I think that's it.
Shall I call it and find out?
No, well, whatever. But yeah, but you know, so basically you can buy a passes now, or you can buy single tickets online only. And then on the day of the show, people can also walk up and buy tickets on the day of the show.
Which is good. When you have that much space,
yeah,
you know, then you can do that,
yeah,
which is good. Okay, we're going to Friday night, and this is the night that there's a huge buzz about. I know I was talking with John Woodhouse. He came in, and he had just interviewed this person.
Kea Aloha.
Kea Aloha.
Yeah.
But that's the second show. Let's start with Facing Monsters, which is the first film that night. It says at 5:45 p.m.
Well, that's when the it'll be starting a little bit later now, because we have different things on different nights. I should have brought the schedule with me. Mm. But yeah, there's usually some music or there's something going on beforehand. So that's a film about a guy from Australia who's had a really hard scrabble life. He loves to surf. He's not one of these guys that went out to like make a name for himself and be known by everyone all over the world. I mean, he's now making this movie, but years after, he's just been out there on his own in the middle of nowhere, riding the biggest stuff he could find and risking his life in the process. And he's one hell of a surfer. He's as good as anyone whose names you people here on Maui would know as household names. He's really just getting out there, and we found this movie. And it's called... Facing Monsters. Yeah, there you go. And he's riding them. Let me tell you, this stuff this guy rides is out of control. So he's just trying to get himself right with the universe, and he's really doing a great job of that. You know, he's a family. He's addicted to some stuff. He's pulled out of that. It's sort of a really triumphant story.
And some big waves.
Ridiculously big waves. I mean, really, really big waves. Yeah. So that's the first film. And then the second film that night is
The Story of Everything.
So you want me to tell you what that's about?
Yeah, please. Let's talk about it. First of all, how did you find out? I mean, I've heard about...
This is a great story.
Yeah, Kea Aloha, I saw at the Nohoku Hanahana Awards 1 year he performed and blew me away. Absolutely blew me away because I love spoken word and he brings words to life. And The Story of Everything is bringing the whole story of his finding the way to bring words to life. And how did you first discover him?
So this is one of my favorite stories. One of the favorite experiences I've had in my life, actually. So I get a call one day, this is about maybe 2 years ago, from this woman, don't know who she is, never heard of her, never talked to her. And she says, would it be okay if my partner and I take you to lunch? She said, we love your festival. I said, okay, sure, no, why not? So I met him at Haile Mailei, and we just hit it off. These women were fantastic, and they just got everything about the festival. It was like, just knocked me out how deep into it they looked and saw and what they saw. So they just said, you know, we want to support you, and we also want to have a certain film. This film we're working on, show at the festival if that's possible. But we want to support you. We just love the shtick with no shoes and a little bit of snappy language, and you know, they just dug it. And they mostly dug the program and they saw real quickly what we were trying to do at the festival, which is to really change culture and move people in meaningful ways that wind up being of benefit to way more people than themselves, right? So I met them for lunch and we had this incredible lunch and they were just so complimentary. It was like the nicest hour ever. And at the end of it, they said, well, we really want to do this. So we saw that video, the video I showed you when I walked in the door, the Trust the Universe video.
Yeah.
So they saw that, and they came to the festival for like 3, 4, 5 years before they actually called me up. So they knew about the festival. They had read the pitch, like, you know, if you're someone of means and want to help this, you know, this kind of thing that we're doing happen. And there it was. So we now have that film, and we're showing it in a really perfect, beautiful time slot, Friday night at 8 o'clock. And
were they the ones that worked on making this film?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They're the producers of the film. They have a foundation.
Now, let's talk about Kea Aloha and...
I want to
Some
show
people
you.
May have heard of him. The guy is amazing. And I guess he started becoming famous He was actually touring, wasn't he, and doing this? Was it a TED Talk that he was
doing? Yeah, and then that led to other stuff. And before you knew it, he was like a big, just like a big deal. And he's super, he's a wonderful guy, super talented. He just did a commencement address for the classes of 20 and 21 at MIT where he went to school. So I'm going to stop this trailer for a second. By the way, the trailer you can see right, well, you can see a trailer for all these films we're talking about.
Yes.
But this one as well, you can see a trailer for this film on the website. You just have to go into the link that says Stardust Cinema, and it'll be like the few days down from the first day. So they just got the best people to work with them on this thing. They got Makana. They got...
Taimon?
Yeah, they got... I just have so many names in my head these days.
Makana and Taimani, I think.
Taimani, yeah, thank you, yeah. Mm-hmm. But some other musicians people know and some great chanters. And what he did when he was at MIT was to get a degree in nuclear. I believe it was nuclear physics. And he just realized pretty soon thereafter this is not for him. You know, he needs to go another path. So he started to do his poetry really seriously. They supported him. They eventually supported him to create this film that was shot on the stage of Hawaii Theater that they turned into this one-of-a-kind kind of, you know, Spalding Gray's work?
Yes, the monologist Spalding Gray. Yeah.
So it's that kind of stuff. He just brings the world to life over a span of time.
Uh-huh.
And it's a story that sort of... dovetails together the DNA of the Kumalipo and Polynesian, you know, origin stories and Hawaiian origin stories with the nanosecond before the first Big Bang. So he's winding these two things together of the universe that he knows really well. It's not just some guy with a little telescope.
Yeah.
And then the cultural side of it. So it's just magical stuff. It's really one-of-a-kind stuff.
Very inspiring. And, of course, I love and I'm fascinated with the stars and all this. And he seems to have a really intense relationship with it. So, I mean, that's one film I think a lot of people are going to be talking about, and yeah, there's going to be a huge buzz on that.
There's going to be, yeah. If that's a film you want to see, get your tickets sooner rather than later, because we've been so busy pulling this festival together. It's been a challenging year with the pandemic. It's on, it's off, all the whole deal. But we're there now. You know, we have this wonderful festival. We're about to announce 5 honorees. Just all kinds of magical stuff is happening. But that particular film... we're about to really start to pump up the volume on, because it's so much down the center of the bullseye of, you know, the Hawaiian culture and younger people who are sort of, you know, being born into it in a way that, you know, older people have not, but they all share the same love of the culture and the music and the dance and the chant. And so that's going to be like, when, you know, we're starting to make calls right now to all the halau, and we're making calls to, you know, people in the canoe community, because we did a film years ago that was about, what was his name? Jeez, really good friend of mine too. Chris Lutie from the... he was the GM of the Fairmont. So Chris got a bunch of people. Kimokea was one of them. And they went from the easternmost tip of Hawaii all the way out to sea, like, you know, thousands of miles later. It took them 5 years to do it. And so we just started to push it. Like, are we going to really have a turnout for this film? And we had like 2,700 people out there. So there's like this really strong affinity for content that's Hawaiian, for as the culture has gotten so much more into so many different interesting areas of what life is, they've really come. There are a lot of really great filmmakers. Like, we have a bunch of films that we're showing, short films that are musical films. It's just wonderful stuff. It's truly way more than a movie, this thing. This is not like going to the mall and seeing some piece of crap. It's the same piece of crap they had last week and next week. And, you know, this is just an otherworldly experience compared to that.
Is he going to be there?
Yeah, he's going to be there. All the key people are going to be there.
That's big.
Yeah.
Because just to hear him talk.
Yeah.
In person will be a memorable experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had some great. I just can't.
Is he getting any award?
No, not yet. Okay. He'll get one eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's quite amazing.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a wonderful Friday night, and then Saturday. An interesting film. This is funny. It's funny. It's called Pretty Problems. And I don't know where you found this, but it's.
They found us. I tell you, let me just tell you real fast.
Uh-huh.
For the first time ever in all these years of chasing films to pull together, you know, the major core of the festival, all this stuff came to me. You know, that just years ago came up with that sort of mantra of like, trust the universe.
Yeah.
And I've gotten really good at it, and it's gotten really good at being there when I need it. I can't even tell you how many things have happened that have just been kismet. this year. I mean, even today we had all this magical stuff happen that I can't talk about because we just have to set it up and announce it in the proper way. But it's really, we have one hell of a film festival going on this
and
year.
And going back to Friday night, that is also a world premiere. The story of everything is a world premiere. You get a lot of world premieres,
which we don't. Normally don't chase those. I've said from the first year, I'm interested in the best films I can get to create a bouquet of sort of beauty, basically. And this year it just came to me. The Lopez film came to me. This film came to me. You know, the one we're talking about right now. Louis Schwartzberg called me up. He had such a great time here with his first film that he showed here. He wanted to come out and premiere his film here. You know, they're creating a whole thing now that they did the same thing with for the Fantastic Fungi, which is they're opening all these channels to talk about. I always forget the first word. Gratitude.
Oh, gratitude.
Revealed. Yeah. So they're doing this whole thing now all over the country with groups of people.
It's really?
Yeah. They're really trying to blow it up. And they're using us as like the place to like start the first atom moving in the right direction.
Oh, I want to do an interview with him then. Okay, but now moving to Saturday night. This is a little different than the others. This is a comedy and it's funny. It is. I mean, just a trailer. Saturday night. It's called Pretty Problems.
Right.
And it's just a little clip of something in the trailer that I think a lot of people might be able to relate to. There's just this moment in that trailer where I there were a couple of trailers I watched twice. This one, I was one of them that I watched twice because I just went, it's a short trailer. But you had to go, what?
It's a scene from the film, basically.
Yes,
they don't have a trailer. They got acquired by IFC, the distribution company, IFC.
Uh-huh.
So they're just working out all the details for the trailer and all
that
kind of stuff.
But it's a funny scene.
You know, it's so well written. That's what grabbed me. It was just so insane, but so funny and so fast and so sharp. And just, it was really.
Well, it kind of reminded me of, remember Sideways?
Yeah, it has that energy to it.
I kind of thought of Sideways because it is about going out on a wine tasting. And, of course, I lived in Sonoma County. I don't know if that's where it's based. I couldn't quite tell where
it was based. The scene where they're trying to outdo each other with how many bottles of wine they can do? It's hysterical.
It's about a couple of women and guys that go out and do a wine tasting tour. But
Some psychedelics involved. You might want to know.
Oh, is that what it is? They don't have that in there.
Yeah.
There's some moments that are rather funny.
Yeah.
I don't know how you describe it. How would you describe it, Barry?
Insanely funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And
unpredictable.
Yeah. And a couple of good-looking women and good-looking guys that are kind of millennials, kind of like millennials maybe.
I guess so. I don't know. Yeah, I'm confused by all that.
The guys are wealthy and the girls just, they decide to go and have a good old time and get a...
Well, they're wealthy or they're not wealthy. You have to watch a home movie to know.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of sort of surprise things that happen in that film.
Okay.
Like I said, they just lifted a scene out because that's what they could do to have something rather than nothing, to give people a feel for the film.
So, again, check it out. It sounds like a lot of fun, especially for a Saturday night, kind of
That's
fun.
Why it's there.
Kind of a fun way to have a Saturday. That one, again, it starts at 6, but you have probably some other things happening that night.
Yeah. There's, I don't have the schedule with me. I should have it with me, but we just wrapped it up. But my head is like a swirl of like a mix master right now with what's where.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there's the second film was at 8 o'clock. And this is a film worth noting. It's an atypical film for what we show.
Yeah.
I've had so many women since I've told them about this film or showed them the trailer say to me, thank you so much. We really need to hear this story told. And this is a story about, it's this film, which is the second film on Saturday night, and the film that's the second film on the following night, Saturday night, this filmmaker whose name is, Etienne Aurelius.
Right.
He's super, super, super talented, especially given his age. People in Hollywood are all freaking out about he's just like a born filmmaker, this kid. So he's done two films, one of which is produced by Taika Waititi's former wife. That's what she's a producer as well herself. So she produced the film. And it's a film that follows a woman who's living sort of a near-do-well life, way below her capability to be something more. And yet she cannot find a way out of this sort of like you know, storm. She's going around in a circle like a cyclone. She keeps riding the same ride. So she basically eventually just has had enough. And what she does in desperation is to light on fire the school bus she's living in with her boyfriend. So he goes.
But you missed an important element. Yeah. I just watched the trailer. But I mean, think basis of this whole thing is talking about domestic violence. And
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So the film is about that, which is atypical for the subject matter.
Yeah.
And I looked long and hard about it to make. And then he wrote me something about why he was doing what he was doing and why he was doing it the way he was doing it. He's a guy who lost his dad left him at 4 years old. He had a mom. He was sort of fatherless. He's a really interesting cat, and really saw what so many people in the strata of life that he was living in were having all these problems. And he was just like, I want to make a film that helps people understand that there's a way out of this stuff. This is a 31-year-old kid, you know, mm-hmm. basically. So he made this incredible movie. There's magical realist elements in the story. There's sort of a I won't describe
it. Surrealistic, some scenes.
It's more like it just is outside of the bounds of what reality is, and yet it somehow works because she meets a spirit animal as she's trying to run away from this guy. The film's shot mostly in Kauai, and the spirit animal really helps her figure out a lot of things and sort of move out of the space she's in and into another world, in effect, although it's just another part of life in a sense. But it's also a whole new world for her.
Kapo,
yes. Sorry, Kapo. I couldn't remember it before. Kapo. Sorry, Etienne. Got a lot in my head right now.
Yeah, no, it is a little surreal, and it's a very deep subject, and it's an important subject.
Yeah.
And it's funny because there have been some films made about domestic violence, but I haven't ever seen anyone do a film like that one.
This one is not gratuitous. It's just, it's very raw. Like, I tell you, I watch this. What I usually do is watch films for long enough to know if they're ever going to get into the festival or not. And then if they are great, I put them in a certain stack. If they're not, I just let it go.
Yeah.
We see a lot of crap, but 750 films, a lot of it is not great, right? But when I watched this film, I was really tired that night, and I lie down on my side. I tend to like to watch stuff on my side on a smaller computer. And I was watching, I'm thinking, I'm never going to get through this thing. It was really just gone. And I started watching it, and I felt like someone had thrown me onto like a cinematic zip line. I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. I couldn't take my eyes off the acting. I mean, the thing just knocked me out. And I've heard similar things from people in L.A. that are like professional, you know, high-end professional people that are saying the same kind of things about it. Yeah. So that's why I thought, you know, overall with the challenges, are people going to like really get pissed off about this film on a Saturday night, blah, blah, blah. It's just the way the schedule worked out that turned out to be a good slot for it. But it's a really, if you really want to watch a movie that has some balls, this movie
is intense.
That movie. Yeah.
It is intense.
Yeah.
So that filmmaker,
Etienne Aurelius.
Yeah. Now, is that person live here?
Yeah, he does. He moved to Maui. I don't know exactly when, but a fairly short time ago.
And so, because he did this film on Kauai, you mentioned. So yeah, and I got that sense.
Some of it's shot in Oahu, but yeah, it's mostly on Kauai.
And we'll go into what his other film is that's coming up here on Sunday night. But I have to say, one of the films that made me laugh the most, and it might be my favorite. I know you're doing lots of great films. But it's Tango Shalom, and it's on Sunday night.
Say it again,
Tango
slowly.
Shalom.
Yeah, tell them what it's about.
Tango Shalom.
It really gives you a good idea what it's about.
It is hilarious. Number one, it's by the person who did the Big Fat Wedding. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and the concept is talk about out of the box. You're talking about a very intense Jewish community. People are kosher, and it's like, you follow the separation of men and women, and the women are this and the men are that, and you don't mix. And then somehow you throw in the idea of this heavy-duty rabbi wanting to do a tango dance.
But tell him why. Do you know why?
No, he had a dream, is all I could see.
No, but he was losing the ability to make a living because COVID had shut down the school.
That wasn't in the trailer.
It's 2 minutes of the trailer, right? But he couldn't teach kids and he couldn't make any money because everything was being shut down during COVID. So he's kind of pulling the hair out of his head. He's going to all these wise men from other lineages to say, like, what can I do? So basically, he hears from a friend of his that there's a woman he heard about that gives tango lessons in another part of the New York City area. And he goes and meets her. She's gorgeous. She was actually one of the women who was for years on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, she is a looker, you know?
Uh-huh.
And they have all these scenes where he's not supposed to even look in her eyes or
he's not
touch
supposed
her.
To even shake hands.
Yeah, but it's his way of winning a contest. You know, he likes to dance. He's good at dancing. And this woman needs to show her boyfriend, who has left her as her partner, They had some kind of an argument, and she wants to show him that I can dance with anybody, buddy. You know, you blew it when you left me. And so they start dancing, and I won't end the film for you. You know, you can take a guess.
It's hilarious.
It's very funny, and it's very heartfelt, and really I love the fact that it was so out of bounds relative
and
to what Maui is like. You
and
know,
breaking down the boundaries. Yeah, I mean, because... Okay, I've been to Israel. I mean, it bothered me at the Wailing Wall that the men are there, the women are there. Right. You can do this, you can't. The men can do this, and it truthfully always bothered me a bit about the separation and the breakdown of men and women. And to see the rabbi dancing with this, and there's a moment, some great scenes. You have to look at the trailer. You will laugh when you look at this trailer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And again, it's just like mind-boggling to see this very, very kosher style rabbi doing a tango dance and doing this dance.
I'm
with
glad
this
you thing. Liked it. I was back and forth about that.
I thought,
are people on Maui really going to get this?
I thought it was brilliant. I really did. It's like, I mean, it's funny. And it's well done. And again, just like what I thought was also smart, just like My Big Fat Wedding, they have the family people. They have all the old, and I was raised in Beverly Hills, okay? They have all the Jewish family members saying, you can't do this and you can't do that. And they're all trying to get together, trying to wrap their head around this rabbi dancing a tango.
Yeah.
And they come, you know, it's just, I think it's brilliant.
So, glad you liked it so
much. I do. I think it's one that you will really, truly enjoy. Now, that's again on 6 o'clock, but you have a lot of other things going on with dancers and music and other things. I don't know.
We have a band. There's a fellow in Maui who plays John Lennon in a band at Las Vegas. It's like a Beatles show.
Uh-huh.
And he's incredible. And they just sort of showed up at a party that we were at. And the guy sounded, I kept looking at him going, this guy looks so familiar. He sounds incredibly like John Lennon. You close your eyes and you swear to God, you were like, they were there. So I said, I got to use you guys at the festival. So they're the music people are walking into, to the night that starts with that first film.
Uh-huh.
And then goes into the second film. So there's some really fun, really top-notch music that's going to go down that night, Sunday night. And the film that night is a film that Kai Lenny, everyone who's living on Maui knows
Kai
who
Lenny.
He is. He's a wonderful guy.
I love
guy.
Him. I adore him. I've interviewed him like when he was 13, 14, 16.
Yeah.
Darling.
Yeah.
And God, has he gotten big time. I mean, my God, you see now he does the TV commercials for First Hawaiian Bank and everything. And
he's done, he's earned everything that he has because he's really a mensch.
Yes.
Talk about, you know, the Orthodox Jewish tradition.
I think he is. Yeah.
You know, so he co-wrote the film that's showing on Sunday night with this a fella, Etienne Aurelius.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen the film. It's just mind-blowing. It's really something special.
Well,
I'll tell you the story. Yeah. It's called Piahi, and it's the story of a young kid who is not homeless, but he's living a really rough life.
Out of a car.
And he just decides that he wants to be a surfer. He goes with a friend. He has to just look at the break. You know, he's breaking. Blah, blah, blah. They go down there, and he just flips out. He says, I got to learn how to do this. So he comes back, gets in his bike, and I guess he knows where Kai Lenny's carried. This is a narrative film. This is not a documentary, right? So he knows where he lives, and he goes there, and he sort of goes into his garage and sort of takes a few fins. And at that moment, he comes out and says, excuse me, what are you doing, bro? I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing? I just love what you do so much. I really want to do it myself. And I just felt like I needed to have something to hold on to, like spark me forward, you know. And Kylan says, oh, gosh, all right, you know what? I'm going to take you under my wing, and I'm going to teach you how to surf Jaws. And the kid is like River Phoenix. They found the River Phoenix.
Really?
Yeah. He's incredible. And he does most all of his work. I think there are a few shots that other people have done.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But if you ever saw a film, he's
about 13 years old?
Now?
No, the kid in it. How old is he?
Oh, maybe 12, 13, yeah. You saw him in the trailer, right?
Yeah, I saw him in the trailer. Yeah. I couldn't tell how old he was.
Yeah, so it's just a really well-made film.
And Kai Lenny actually co-wrote this.
He co-wrote it, and he stars in it, or co-stars in it, with this young guy.
Yeah.
And knocked me out. I just saw it recently. So, yes, wonderful film, an important film, and again, a Hawaiian story.
Yes.
You know, that's a major film coming out of Hawaii that's going to have a life beyond our shoreline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, ditto for the other film, the Kapo.
That's true, yeah.
And we actually have about, I think we have almost 10 other films that are Hawaii filmmaker created films.
With we're the doing shorts and things.
We're doing more and more of that because it's getting better and better. So mm-hmm. it's like a joy to have some really great, you know, I know I pissed off a lot of people for many years because I just wouldn't show anything just because someone happened to be living from Maui. You know,
unless think of over the years, though, you've had some wonderful films from Hawaii.
Yeah, well, I made an effort. You know, I made a real effort as its talent pool grew and was doing better work. I mean, that's great. That's what I look for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a really special
film. Will Kyle Lenny be there?
Yeah, he'll be there.
Oh, great.
He'll be there, and so will Etienne, and they're going to do a Q&A following the film.
Oh, awesome.
I think they're doing a surfboard giveaway or something. I've been so busy. He's been so busy. He and I are like two ships passing in the night. We met each other just one time in person, and we both really hit it off. And the next thing I knew, we were doing these two films and putting them up on the screen at the festival.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he's such a nice guy. I mean, he just exudes niceness. No ego, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's great. And to
yeah,
be able to have him there,
yep.
to have the world, this is, again, a world premiere.
Yep.
On the opening night of this film, that's a touching film.
I mean,
really, and I think you did a beautiful job of writing it. I mean, it's a hard thing. Writing a film is not easy, and for someone like him.
Did you say till the end, you heard all the voiceover they use in the end there when he's talking about what it really means to ride a big wave?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so, I mean, again, this is, this is a really very interesting, extremely deep and lovely film festival. And again, like no other, there's no other film festival like this in the world. There'd be no other film.
There's not. If you look at other websites, aside from their programs, you know, a lot of it's I don't want to hit them too hard, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's shown that is not great stuff. But, you know, when you have a 150 film program kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're small is beautiful, and that's what we're trying to make our thing be, and people know us for that. And, you know, we were called the Jewel Box Film Festival years ago by IndieWire, and we're comfortable with that description to this day.
Well, and on top of that, my gosh, this is an expensive thing to put on. It's a lot of work, and the venue, et cetera, is always. I know you tore your hair out a year ago. What to do, where to show these, what's, your hair's doing fine.
See your eye doctor.
No, your hair's doing fine.
Okay.
But you know, to try to find that was, for you know, always been a challenge and stuff. So it's expensive to do this kind of thing.
If you want to do it right, you know, you can put up a bed sheet and throw images up on it. But this thing, I can't underscore strongly enough that this experience of seeing this movie is not like anything else you've seen, unless you can imagine like a San Francisco 49ers football game, you know, at night on a true Jumbotron screen. You know, I call this like a mini Jumbotron because it's way smaller than that. But it's still, you know, 20 by 30 feet. We ain't screwing around.
Yeah. No, that's it's come a long way. You know, 22 years now of the film festival. And we got through every single film in 1 hour, and actually a little less than an hour, so I want to congratulate you once again on doing that.
Thank you.
The next time we meet, we'll be able to talk about some of your superstar celebrities and people that will be coming in that you couldn't announce till Variety had the first dib, which I understand.
Yeah.
I bow to
Variety. I got a great new PR person this year. I had her last year as well. She's really terrific.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Katie... Katie Cornfield. Sorry,
Katie Cornfield. Okay.
This is what 2 hours of sleep
looks
like.
You have less than you have 1 minute exactly to thank people you want to thank.
But I want to thank Stella for all that she does to keep it all together at home, and I want to thank the two women closest to me, other than Stella, who serve as my sort of graphic design person and my. My brain trust. We're all getting off so much on how tight we have become over these years. So, I mean, to put this thing together with like one guy, on it all the time, and two people on it, maybe like, you know, they've only been like 4 hours each at the office once a week for a while. I mean, I did a lot by myself, but when they stepped up and their kids finished school and both of them have kids, you know, they really have rocked it. I mean, we're just rocking it. So, yeah, all of that, all the people at the Mac, Candy, Coutreau, especially, but Mark, Estrella, and Jason in the box office. And it's so weird. We have so many fewer people to thank these days because the Mac is like making it all happen for us these days. We don't have our own crew. But, yeah, thanks to any and everyone who's helping the festival happen this year. And
thank you.
Couldn't do it without you.
Thank you to you, Barry. Thank you. And aloha.